Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we do this show together. You and I. Me and you. Listening to one another. Seeing one another. Being the performer and the audience at the same time. Oh, my friend, there's nothing better.
Hey, don't look, but that guy over there has the craziest boots on.
Which guy? That one?
Don't look.
This guy?
Don't point, Butchie.
Those are some crazy boots, all right.
Oh my gosh, Butchie, he'll hear you.
You shouldn't have pointed them out if you didn't want the attention.
I wish I hadn't.
Hey, man. Those are crazy boots you're wearing.
Okay.
Butchie, you're killing me.
You're killing yourself. What are you guys being so loud for? We're judging this guy's attire. Who's to judge someone's attire? I've always thought it's me. But now Lou thinks he can too. And I'm teaching him that judging isn't as easy as it looks. Well, this is our stop. Come on. Being an observer has consequences. You think by noticing things and not commenting that you aren't influencing the thing observed. Au contraire. You made it part of your world. You noticed. And the Bible says, when you notice something, you can't unnotice it. Morally speaking.
I don't want to hurt anyone, but at the same time, I'm compelled to watch and have opinions whether I want to or not. Like about strange and unusual footwear.
Well, try to work through them until you're like me and have no opinions or beliefs or anything.
You believe things?
I do, right? Maybe, not, I don't know.
I believe we're headed in the wrong direction.
Nope, new plans. We are now going to a performance.
But what about getting my teeth drilled?
That can wait.
Where are we headed, Butch?
To the Hilbert Hotel for a performance of No Room Forever.
Is that a theater?
Sort of. It's immersive. The performance goes on around you. You wander from room to room, set to set. And the actors and dancers do their thing and move on.
Okay. Weird.
It's not, though. It's not weird. You're just a person of limited experience.
That's true.
Well, we'll all benefit from the great performance experience. And it's super dark in there.
Now, hold on. I'm not big on dark places because I'm clumsy.
Your eyes will adjust.
Maybe I should close them now to get a head start.
I'd keep your eyes open until we get there.
Good idea. I know these streets like I know myself, which is to say, not at all.
What's the performance about?
About? Did you just ask me what a work of art is about?
Sorry.
It's about your mom. Jeez, Butch, I said I'm sorry. No, I mean it's about how what we think we know about those who came before us is sometimes an illusion, and that searching for the real answer can be a deep mystery.
I like mystery. Like when all the flowers got torn up in the garden, but it wasn't your dog Spiny, because you said it wasn't.
Exactly.
This looks like the entrance to the Hilbert Hotel.
Let's go in.
Ooh, it's dark.
Walk this way, please.
If I walked that way, Butchie would say I was trying to be like you because I'm a people pleaser.
Shh, you're already ruining the theater experience.
Man, it's dark in here.
We haven't even started. This is just the holding area.
It's like an old-timey hotel bar.
It is an old-timey hotel bar. The whole hotel is old-timey.
Ooh, cool. Has it started?
No.
How do you know?
We haven't gone in yet.
But I think the people working here are pretending already.
I mean, it started, but this isn't the actual part where you just shut up and follow instructions.
Ugh, worst nightmare.
Well, this is gonna be fun. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, please follow me.
Ooh, creepy. Will I be in danger?
Oh, that'd be great, but no.
Step in here, please. Are we all in? What you are about to see will be strange to you. We ask you to keep your face covered at all times with these masks.
How will you know it's me with my face covered?
Dude.
When the door opens and you step out, there will be no talking. keep your masks on, and observe silence.
Yeah, not sure that's gonna happen.
Shh. Quiet, you guys.
Shh.
Good luck.
Here we go.
Shh.
Shh. Wow.
Shh.
What's that lady doing?
Shh. Be quiet.
Shh.
Shush yourself. I was shushing him.
Shh.
Shh.
Be quiet. Sorry. Is she holding a letter?
Oh, please.
Please.
Come on.
Shh.
Shh. Sorry. Sorry.
Shh. Mm. Lou, please.
Shut up.
You guys. You shut up.
Shut up.
Shh. Man, my mask won't stay on.
Shh.
I can't see.
Shut up.
Sorry. Hey, friends. This is Lou. I'm switching to internal dialogue because my tendency to speak everything out loud is not working for me right now. I say it's an internal dialogue, but I guess it sounds like a monologue because the voices in my head all sound the same. I know, right? Yes! Tell him, Lou. Will do. So, we have walked into a hallway of an old hotel. And a naked lady just ran by, and there's an old telephone here, and also a weird storefront that might be a bakery. I'll walk in. It's not a bakery, because there's skulls on the shelf, so I'm thinking it's a head shop. That can't be right. Oh, what's this? A clue? There's a thing on the floor. Okay, I'm picking it up. It's a Metro card. Is that a clue, or did an audience member drop it? Whoops, I've lost Butchie and Hardy. Guess I'm on my own. Kind of a worst nightmare scenario, but we'll see. There's some audience members watching something. If others are interested in something, then maybe I should be. I can't see over their heads. Therefore, I will tell myself that I am actually more enlightened because I'm interested in this unpopular thing over here, which is a chair. But maybe this ordinary-looking thing is disguising just how significant it is. Those fools looking at the obvious have missed this subtle chair. Gosh, I can't stop thinking about the Metro card. Did the naked lady drop it? But she didn't have pockets. Even if this was the 1920s and she was dressed, she still wouldn't have pockets. Did they have Metro cards? Or was it all leather and wood tickets back then? Now I'm alone. I suppose the audience has moved on. But I think I'll linger here for a bit, exploring. Man, I'm lonely. I need to find other people. Oh, here we go. They're watching two guys arguing, silently. I guess those guys are supposed to be mimes. Or is there no dialogue in this play, and so they literally are mimes? If a mime is miming being a mime, there's a level of meaning that is perfectly camouflaged. This is amazing.
Do you think he's still in there, or you think he went home?
Home, like back to the hotel?
Or maybe jumped on a plane?
Unlikely. I don't think Lou could make it back on his own. I bet he's still in there.
It's been hours.
Well, let's just wait a little longer.
What's this?
It's very different from the rest of the place. It has an otherworldly feel, like maybe it's supposed to be the future. Everything gleaming. The people in the past, in the hotel, are confronted with a mystery. Naked women are losing their Metro cards. How can this horror exist? And so, the Hotel Hilbert occupants do rituals with skulls, which give them visions of the future, of impossibly bright and metallic spaceships that beep and whir and whiz. Who is this person operating the machine? A sort of god whose hand guides the actions of the lost souls of the past?
Can I help you? I think you're lost. This is the cast break room.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the future. Hans?
Lou, is that you under the mask?
Yes, are you in this play?
Yes, I have a pivotal role as a long-dead corpse that lies in a sort of Mrs. Havisham room of lost dreams.
Oh, well, not much to do.
Are you kidding? It's a dream role. All I have to do is nap the whole time. They could have used a mannequin, but they used a union actor, and I think that's wonderful.
Cool.
Do you want to meet the director and the cast?
Oh, I'd love to.
Well, now I'm worried. I bet he's panicked. I bet he's lost somewhere. Maybe in the corner of a room, afraid and in tears.
Oh, you're killing me. I don't want Lou to be afraid. Why did I make him do this?
It's wonderful to meet you, Jean-Pierre. I found your pas de deux with a lira to be exquisite. And thanks so much for the invitation to the villa.
Thank you.
More champagne, Lou?
No. This is Ale 8-1 anyway, not champagne. I will tell you, I thought I was not going to like an immersive experience, but I didn't know about the hors d'oeuvres. A good amuse-bouche can change everything. Am I right?
Look at all the sea, bosun.
Whole lot of sea, Captain.
Indeed. Not but.
Beg pardon, Captain?
Not but sea. There is not but sea.
Not but. I don't know that one.
Anyway, lots of sea. And for a long time. One wonders how it is we even know where we are.
One wonders.
Well, you don't, do you, bosun? You know where we are.
No, sir.
But you're bosun.
That's not what I do, Captain. I'm more like the guy in charge of ropes and mops.
Who is next in command after me?
Oh, that's the chief mate. But it's the second mate who navigates.
Well, then why am I always talking to you, then?
No idea, sir. Suppose I'm just lucky.
Where are the rest of the crew?
Below deck, sir.
Well, get the second mate so I can ask where we are.
He won't know, sir.
I thought you said the second mate navigated.
Yes, sir. That's the rank description.
And yet?
So, the fact is, the whole crew were kidnapped, shanghaied.
Yes, and your point?
Well, we aren't none of us sailors.
Then why were you in a sailor's saloon? Not that I had anything to do with it.
Well, we weren't. We were in a room at an inn, where we were meeting up for our hatmakers' convention.
Hatmakers?
Darn fine ones.
Haberdasher.
No, it's true. We're all milliners.
Milliners.
Hatters.
Hatters. As in mad as a...
Milliner. Mad as a milliner.
Who was sailing the ship then?
We assumed it was you, Captain, seeing as you're the captain.
I haven't a clue how to drive a boat, much less one with wind sheets. All of you are hatters. You're not a bosun.
No, I'm not. But I looked up how to make a bosun's hat, and I think I did an even nicer and more practical design.
Oh, it is handsome. Lends itself to a bit of authority, which is what I was probably picking up on when I assumed you had some sort of skill.
I do have skill, sir.
Right. Just not the kind we desperately need. And also because everyone else on the ship has the same useless skill as you do.
Perhaps if I made you a realistic enough captain's hat, you could sort of trick yourself into knowing how to sail.
You know, I've never met the crew. They are on the inside part of the ship, the foyer, the lounge. I would like to meet them, since we're in the same boat.
I think that's a good decision, Captain.
I have a question, though. Will they kill me?
Unlikely. They make hats, Captain.
They make hats. All right. And I make their acquaintance.
Come on down to the basement, to the fully immersive theater experience of the Miracle Nutrition Not But Basement Time. I'm so glad that you're here. So this is the basement where we will be doing our theater experience. It doesn't look like much now and never will unless you help build the sets with me, won't you? No? Didn't sign the waiver to use the nail gun? That's cool. We'll just leave it as is. Just know that with a flip of a switch, we can be in a field... or on Mars, or on a ship, or over here on something. And all the ambient sound has been eliminated because I'm wearing a mask, though.
Hey, how's business?
Not too good, Butchie. No one's buying my skulls.
I think they get the wrong message from the name of your store.
I don't know, but it's a mystery.
Speaking of mysteries, have you been seeing what's going on in the shop front that just got rented out?
I haven't been paying attention because I'm too caught up in my own problems. I'm glad skulls aren't perishable, because if heads were cheese, I'd be broke and there would be a terrible crazy odor.
The guy's got a sign that says detective, but I've seen girls go in there with suitcases and come out empty-handed.
So what?
Aren't you curious?
About what?
The women in the suitcases.
Not really. Am I a failure as a businessman?
Yes. I think he's a smuggler.
Metro tickets don't have people's name on it, so that's not stealing, right? It's like finding cash.
I'm going to keep an eye on this so-called detective, and maybe even follow him.
Have fun in Myrtle Beach.
You're not paying any attention.
I like mysteries. Unless they're real and involve me, or my life, or anything to do with me, or people I know, or the real world, and also some video games.
When I was a house, I remember a time Lou was sleepwalking. Or I thought he was. Still don't know. But he got out of bed and suddenly started walking from room to room, examining things, watching people sleep, like he was a ghost. He'd stand there just observing silently a chair or a shelf or some piece of paper on the floor or even Hardy asleep on the couch. Lou would wander. He'd drift, his attention shifting from one thing to the next, from one mystery to another. I remember this well.
Am I asleep, brain? Yes, you are. Are you sure? Yes, I am. I am your brain. Good. Am I dreaming? Sort of. Am I lucid dreaming? Like naughty junk? No, lucid. Like I can control what I do. How do I know about something my brain doesn't? Well, one of life's mysteries. Indeed. So I can use my imagination, like the Star Trek holodeck, then walk around like a ghost or the Invisible Man, observing and being in a thing without being of it. Yes, do this. So I imagine I'm getting out of my bed. And I'm walking into the hallway. And it looks like the hallway, but I lucid dream it into a ship. Where I'm watching people do something. They're making something. What is it? Hats! That's weird. They're sitting around a table, drinking and making hats. And the guy dressed as the captain is sort of laugh crying. Now I'm back in the house. I'm in the living room. Whoa, will you look at this chair? I never really looked at it because usually I can be seen and I don't want to be seen looking at a chair. But now I really notice what a fantastic upholstery job was done. It looks like a living underwater creature, symmetrical and organic. I imagine now I am watching Hardy sleeping on the couch. Look at him. Glad I'm a ghost and can't be seen. Look at him sleeping like a baby. No, not a baby. Like an old man. Or a baby with problems.
What is Lou doing watching Hardy sleep? Are you seeing this, Don? Yes. I think he's sleepwalking, so don't wake him. What will happen if I do? Oh, I think the shock will upset his system. Let's not test it. Okay, but I'm going to follow him.
What's this on the floor? Some kind of yellow ticket.
Huh. I lost him somehow. And I'm on a train. Okay, that's unexpected. But I ain't whining. Hey, lady, watch out. Hey, you hear me? Lady? Whoa, you see me? You don't see me. What is this, an 80s movie? I'm invisible and silent. Because society, blah, 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 blah. You can't shut me up. I am Mr. Stinky. And I came here to say my name is Baruch Spinoza and I live at 280 Palm Maple Court and kiss me wherever you find repulsive. I think it's all great. Hey, those are crazy boots you're wearing, man.
Okay.
I beg your pardon?
Listen, it's about time someone talked to you like you deserve to be talked to, like.
I'm tired of walking around on eggshells and kid gloves. I've had it. The studio has had it. He's had it. People you haven't met yet have had it. Such is the poison you've been spreading.
And so what of it? I spread poison like a snake does because it's cornered and has no choice. Take your foot off my throat and maybe then I'll spare you my wrath.
Listen to both of you. You're going on like a couple of children. Eggshells, poison, enough. It's time you two admit what everyone already knows. You're in love with mystery.
He's right, you know. I love not knowing.
She doesn't know. I knew she didn't know.
Wait.
What is it?
My Metro card.
What?
I dropped it. I had it tucked into the sash. Dang, there was 20 bucks on it, too.
Wah-wah.
This room. This is my friends having coffee in the morning. I love that. They're silently going about their business. Their rituals in the morning. Coffee pouring. Vintage newspaper reading. Chromatic harmonica playing. Dice rolling. Things that make them feel centered. And things that don't take a lot to do. Love just watching it like it's a really boring play. I'm glad it's a boring play. Action is draining. If soldiers were to burst in and Butchie transformed into some ninja super fighter, it would stress me out. I like just watching him read the same article over and over again, every day, year after year. And watching Hardy stir his coffee and look out the window with that distant stare like he's thinking of something deep when I know for a fact he's not. It's more like a painting than a movie. Or maybe if I move around it, it's a sculpture. I like being able to do this unseen, unperceived, to observe without affecting the observed. Oops, sorry, Butchie.
No problem.
Shh.
Sorry.
I thought I'd be the one who messed up.
Hardy!
Sorry.
I'm invisible. You guys.
You were in there for a very long time, man. We were worried. You should feel awful.
No, Lou, don't feel awful. But it was a really long time, and given your anxiety, we were worried.
Sorry to worry you, and I was actually liking it a whole lot. Then I discovered the future. I mean, the break room, and Hans, and then we went to a cast party where I met talented, beautiful people and got into a long conversation about the difference between the observer and the performer in performance art.
Anyway, the moral is, caring causes pain, and I should have known better.
I'm just glad you're okay.
I'm more than okay. I'm seeing the world in a whole new way, as performance mystery. I see everything with a slightly detached fascination, both good and bad. What moves me most is the inherent sensory impact and the impenetrable mystery. I feel things the way a ghost or a cloud might feel them.
You've had some kind of break. We need to get some vintage TV into you, stat.
I sort of understand, Lou. You have permission to notice, or rather, you feel liberated by observing.
I remember I was sitting in a cafe in France. Not Paris, it wasn't Paris, it was Montpellier. And I'm sitting in a cafe, and I'm sitting at that table, and I'm thinking, oh God, no one speak to me, please. Oh Lord, oh, I'm so frightened. What if somebody says something to me, asks me something? Oh, nobody look at me. And I didn't want to look around or anything. Then I relaxed after a while, drinking my coffee. I guess it was coffee. I don't know. Maybe if I was relaxing, who knows? Maybe it was absinthe. And I was I was doing that, and I started observing people. You know how they always talk about, say I was sitting in the cafe, people watching. Oh, it's great to just sit there and passively observe, right? So you just... You say, I'm not participating, I'm just watching. I'm just like a spirit. And I began to watch people, and then I thought, am I really passively observing? Is the observer really not affecting what they're observing? And I'd say, well, how can my mere gaze affect the outcome of a situation? Well, if it were only that. But as we observe, we begin to interpret, right? So I'd be looking there. I'd sit at this table, and I'd look across the street, and go, that's a really old building. Look at the stones in that building. Is that Middle Ages or something? We don't have stuff like that back home. And then I'd look at the steps leading up to it, and be there somebody sleeping in. And I'd go, oh, look at that poor soul. I wonder what their story is.
And I begin to watch them. I think, oh, are they dead? I wonder if they're, hope they're not dead. And I start watching them. Now, the minute I do that, the minute I make that observation, I'm kind of morally committed to something. I've noticed it. I've noticed the unfortunate person in the steps. And if something really did happen, and I was the only one who noticed it or could help at that moment, I am then obliged to do something because I have seen it. If you've seen it, you mean reading it, something that rhymes. I don't know what rhymes. But that's just the way we are, right? The minute you see something, you become part of that. It gets into your brain. It becomes part of your memories, part of your world. And then you're in it. You're in the story. You're all of a sudden not just an audience. You're one of the actors. Oh, and that was all there just sitting in the cafe that happened to you. Yes, it did. And then the more lives that I noticed, I realized the more people I had become wedded to like that, how our fates, even though they didn't know it, or maybe they did, maybe they saw me watching them and had some thoughts and thought, well, is that a spy? And then they thought, well, maybe I'm being watched by, am I, I don't look British. What nationality do I look? Nobody wants to claim me. I don't know. Sometimes I think alien and like a farm animal or something. You know, maybe that's true. I don't know who my ancestors are. A lot of people say, one of the reasons they poo-poo evolution is they go, my ancestors weren't apes. I'm pretty sure my ancestors were worse than that. I know they were. I just knowing some of their descendants, I think, a lot of them were just like those slimy things that Coleridge describes that are under the boat. You can't see them, but your grandpa's under there swimming around, and he's got fangs, and he's got a dangly thing that hangs between his eyes, and it glows, and he uses it to lure tiny fish, naive fish, into his sharp fangs, and they eat them. He doesn't care. He poops them out, and then they become pure spirit, but mixed with fish feces. That's what we are, I believe. All this, I deduced in a cafe. Well, hello, my friends. Oh, it's so good to be talking to you. I am sitting here speaking to you, and you are there, maybe sitting, listening to me.
That's Hardy doing his show. He can't see me, but I see him. This is so weird. I can stand behind him or in front of him. I can wave my hands all around him. I can read things on his desk. I can look at his subtle facial expressions as he talks to me. And now I'm here observing and listening, and so I affect the outcome. The show becomes part of me. His experience becomes part of me. I live a whole lifetime in a moment.
Well, hello, my friends. Oh, it's so good to be talking to you. I am sitting here speaking to you, and you are there, maybe sitting, listening to me. I cannot see you. You cannot see me. But if you listen to me and follow my instructions, we will be able to see one another. When I was young, I used to like to go under the covers and listen to the radio or listen to the record player, which, once under the covers, I could not hear very well. But a radio is better because you could put that headphone in or that earphone. It was just one ear because back in the day, they thought people only had the one ear. Then they thought, well, there's two ears. Things evolved from there. Also, I don't know that there was stereo. So that ear, up until that, everybody's one ear was extra. They thought, oh, I have an extra ear. And then they invented stereo. Thought, well, it's a good thing we had that ear. That's got to be an argument, if not for evolution, for, I don't know, the funny pages. That's the stuff that happens in the funny pages. That's in the world. If Ernie Bushmiller or something created the world, that would have been the way it was. But listen to me. I would go under those covers and imagine things and imagine a world and imagine a space, and I would close my eyes. The reason I was under the covers, it helped cut out the light, you know, because even when you close your eyes in the light, you say, oh, I see the back of my eyelids. It's just, they're shining. It's gross. It's blood. I guess it's my blood mixed with sunlight. That's what I'm seeing. But when you're in the darkness, you can use your imagination. So this is what I think would be a great idea. Follow me now, if you will.
Shall we? So imagine that I'm there with you. First of all, you're probably not in the bed under the covers. That's fine. Maybe you're at the wheel of a car. Do not shut your eyes. It might be possible to do this with your eyes open. But if you're anywhere else and you can shut your eyes, even on the subway, people do it all the time to remain unbothered. So you can shut your eyes. And now you are under the covers in a safe place. I don't know where it is. Your grandma's house, your great-grandmother's house, your great-great-great-grandmother's house. She doesn't know who you are. Like, how did you get here? I'm a baby from the future. Well, I will let you stay here under these safe covers. Whenever it was the safest in your house. And you're under there. And I am there with you. But I'm not a human being. Now you go, oh, you're creeping me out. Wait. This is my form. You must imagine it as best that you can. I am about 18 inches tall. I am the shape of a red, like a pear. All right? So it's kind of a red stuffed animal. It's made, I guess I'm like terry cloth or something, red. I have a white circle on my belly. I have a muzzle that sticks out like a monkey because I am a stuffed monkey ultimately, but I don't really look like one. So that muzzle, I have a line across so you can't tell if I'm smiling or I'm stoic. I have two black kind of button eyes, shiny, no texture. And then I have two ears. The ears are not red. The ears are white. I have two floppy, long, flat arms that just look like, I don't know, long socks or something. They're red with white, floppy hands that look like mittens, no fingers. That's me. That's my form. That's who I am. Sitting there next to you, and I can't move. Could you prop me up a little bit? Thank you. But we're going to interact like that. I, as the stuffed chimp, the stuffed monkey, the way the 60s cartoonists saw a monkey. This is a stylized monkey. That's not real. I asked for a monkey. Well, it's a sort of fun, I don't know. I'm a 50s cartoonist, and that took acid, and now everything looks like kind of funny shapes. Looks like fruit. All right. But that's the way it is, and that's what I want to be. Wouldn't that be remarkable if that's the way you could see me now and I could see you just like it was Toy Story or something and I was one of your toys, but it was more hideous. I don't know if that's hideous. No, I had an animal like the one I'm describing. Animal. I had a glorified pillow with appendages the way I'm describing. And I talked to it all the time, and it talked back, I guess, in my imagination, or may have literally, and now I've blocked it out because it's traumatic. That could be. If your stuffed animals actually spoke to you, I think you would at some point go, that did not happen, and you'd move on. Because if not, again, you're like an 80s movie. You go, I got to figure out what happened. No, don't. Just pretend it didn't happen or something. Your brain blocks things out for a reason, like all the stuff that you studied the night before the test. Why is it blocking that out? Hey, I don't know, but you can't remember everything. It's very difficult. I find the brain, it's worse than getting electronics or something. You go, oh, God, get a new TV. And it isn't like it used to be. You can't just plug it in. You think, I got to go to school first to know how to just turn the TV on. Can I just turn it on? No. First of all, go online. You got to answer some questions. All right. Now, the first set of questions will determine which house you're sorted into in Huff and Puff. So I don't know. I go through all this kind of nonsense. And everything is made more difficult. I'm making this more difficult just because why? Time non-constraints. The more time you have, the more likely you are to fill it up. For instance, you come to somebody's house and you say, you're paying me by the hour. So, I mean, I could be greedy, move on to another job and start the hour when I got there. And like it's kind of double dipping, I think. I feel like the way I look at it is you hired me for an hour. I came over, I changed a washer on the faucet. And now the rest, 50 minutes more chit-chat time. I'd love it. I'd love to visit. And it's not yet my lunch. I don't know if you had anything planned, but I wouldn't mind speaking to you. Oh, I'm going to look around your house for prompts. That's what they do when workmen come to my house. They look around the room for prompts. They go, what is it? Is there a picture or an item or something I can just kind of start? I'll riff on it. What do you got? See, what do you got over there? Looks like what you got a bottle of there.
They do that all the time, and I don't mind. I don't mind making conversation. I think other people are so curious because maybe they're afraid. Say, I need to check everybody out. I got a feeling like there's a bunch of enemies going around. And so maybe they need to just suss out who you are. And I don't mind speaking to you. All right, just talk to me. Figure me out. Once you figure out who I am, you'll see that I'm no threat to you as an individual. Maybe to your whole belief system, but not to you as an individual. I mean nobody harm. Oh, my goodness. I guess the only thing I have a beef with are other ideas or things like that or things that would cause harm because I'm up against demons. And, oh, I don't mean literal demons. I mean literal demons. And I don't mean literally. I mean they're both literal and figurative in that here now, hear me out. Everything that's really even an idea has some kind of substance. It clings to something. It's a parasite on something. And so the person, you start to think that they are the idea because it's gotten into their brain. And so that's where we get the idea that where things become personified, just that mere inclinations or adjectives. And then they become angels. Adjectives become angels, and those are demons.
Oh, I sound like a YouTube video where people are pulling invisible string out of their face.
Say, I don't know, I'm feeling energy that you're not. Oh, my listener, I am perceiving another world and other dimensions that you may not perceive because it's like I'm a chimpanzee and you are a mere poodle. How would you see these other things? And I will tell you about them. Oh, yes, I'm perceiving another energy. It is almost like I'm looking down a hallway in a movie. Now I'm looking on a highway in a movie. That could be any movie. I don't know whether I'm looking at a David Lynch movie or Kiss Me Deadly, but look, it said they put the camera on the front of the car, maybe. Is that how they do it? Oh, but this is interdimensional, and I'm seeing these things. Now I'm seeing the future, now I'm seeing the past. Now they're all mixed up. Now it's all brown. I can't see anything. Ooh. But the one thing I can tell you is you must listen to me because I have secret information that you do not have. No, that's not true. I may have less information that you have or different, at least. Isn't that interesting? So I'd keep me around just for reference because you don't know. But however, probably everybody's brain seems to be, to me, just some degree of, not addled, but what's the word I want? Oh, they're inefficient. Oh, the things we believe. But I don't know. We're all observing, and we do all see things differently. That's for sure. But your interpretation is going to be different than the interpretation of the person who's seeing it. I think that's why we think our lives are all different. So if you see somebody like dressed as a pirate going around, they may believe they're a pirate. And so they're living in pirate's world. In, what is that, Dania, Florida? There was a pirate's world. Wasn't there a pirate's world? I believe there was a pirate's world in Florida, and there was a Wild West one, Six Gun Territory. And I like to think that they were the same thing, and there were pirates and cowboys that were shooting at one another. And then it got really ultra-violent, and it then started to look like a John Woo movie or something, and like gun-fu. And I think I'm remembering this all wrong. And then I think that the wiki-washy mermaids came, and the mermaids were also shooting at people. So there were pirates and mermaids and cowboys. And I think they had a Bible museum, but I might be wrong. Florida in the 60s and 70s was a very strange place, unlike what it is now. No, oh my goodness. Why Florida? I'll tell you why. It's the geology. Oh, it's the limestone beneath Florida are a series of holes and caverns. They contain the spirits of the dead and demons. Now, I don't mean this literally. I mean all this imaginatively. It stands for something. I just don't know what. I get things in reverse. Blah, 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 blah. That's how I see the world. A lot of times people will have stories that are based on something. So they're an allegory or something. For like
let's say Wizard of Oz is about the U.S. monetary system, which I kind of doubt, right? But let's say it is, and the gold path is the gold standard, and the cowardly lion is William Jennings Bryant. And I don't know if any of this is true or not, and I don't, doesn't matter. But in my world, it would be, everything would be true after the fact, that first comes the fairy tale, and then you figure out what the fairy tale is about, and it's usually about the present, magically. That's how I do it. And I don't know, it's always worked out that way. You have the imaginary one first, you have the angels and the demons and the characters and the made-up people. You have the play first, and then you slowly see that the play is the reality. Oh, it starts to point outside itself and say, this is what I'm talking about. Over here, you intuited it. You made it into puppets. But look, it's based on the reality all around you. You are secretly observing and interpreting. And then sometimes you make those things into the unreal because it's hard to understand that they are real. Oh, I'm living in a play. I'm living in an immersive mystery play. And yet I am part of the cast as well as of the audience. There's no coincidence that the word is audience. It is like we're hearing Audie ants. We're little ants. We're little nothing. And there's a lot of us. So that's why the performers see us as expendable. The audience, there's not enough of them here. And you go, well, I'm here. I'm important. And they go, none of you are important as individuals. You're only important in numbers. And ants are like that too. An ant can't carry a banana on its back, but it can on its when it's sharing the banana carrying with other ants who are getting together and say, I understand that you're in hard times and I wanted to help you out with some of my banana carrying.
The Observers, starring Hardy White as the Watcher, also starring Hardy White as the Watched, with condescending authority figure, this episode, the audition,
all right, we're going to be auditioning Hardy White. Now I want you to get on stage, and I'm going to hear why you deserve the part, why we should listen to you. Go.
Oh, all right. I'm Hardy White, and why should you listen to me? Am I entertaining? Am I intelligent? Do I have interesting or novel things to tell you? I forgot what the question was, but I will say this about my qualifications. They are non-existent, and non-existence is the very heart of mystery, and mystery is the very heart of contentment, isn't it? Don't we all long to be confused? No, you say, we long for answers, Hardy, but answers are finality, and nobody wants the end of things. If you tell me how it ends, why should I stay tuned? And I want you to stay tuned to me. For Hardy White, I messed up my line. I'm going to go back to the beginning, sir. I hope you don't mind. Listen, you will not get perfection here. Oh, no, I am a mere distraction. I'm trying to keep you from, in some way, doing something. I don't know what it is, but I would like you to now just pause a moment, even if it's a good thing. Why can't it wait? Just 2 seconds. Let's just wait and think about it, or not think about it. Let's feel about it. Let's feel about it as if it were a dark room. I like to have my hands in front of me at night when I move through the room looking for the bathroom. I know where the bathroom is, but there may be something additional in front of me some night. I don't mean like a person, but who knows? I might have moved the lamp and then forgotten. I may have bought a statue and didn't remember putting it in there. What have I done? I'm going to bump into that statue in the middle of the night. No, not with my arms out. I anticipate roadblocks. I put out my feelers first. I always have my cow catcher deployed so that those things will fly over me. And then they will, of course, possibly land on my head. But that's all right, too. You think you've heard enough? Oh, the audition is never over. Why don't you hear everything that I have to say? I may not pause just so that you can't pause. If you're trying to make a clean break, if you're trying to make a clean break and I take a breath, that might give you just the place you might need to make an edit, to slice it, to move on. Oh, no. If I resolve, if I end in some sort of nice final major chord after I give you a seventh chord, no, no, no. That indicates that I'm done, and I am never done. I will always end in the middle of things. I'm not done with my audition. The audition does not end and the play begin. The play does not end and my day begin. Everything is locked together. Everything is sewn together. Everything is one piece. Oh, it might be a crazy quilt of different fabrics that Meemaw has cobbled together from the laundry of generations. But it's still one quilt. It's still a blanket. Oh, my friends, I'll go ahead and take a breath for you. I don't want you to be worn out. I know that sometimes if somebody is speaking to you frantically like that and it's obvious that it's caffeine or something, for me, I don't know what it is. I think I'm just super excited to be with you. And now I'm coming down. Now I'm going to take a little nap on the air. And that's performance. That's when you can do it. You say, oh, this is free form, so it's a little performance art. I'm just going to take a super quick nap. And I don't think I'll play any music because wouldn't it be interesting to hear me sleep? And here we go. Now I'm going to sleep. Sometimes I talk in my sleep. I'm just warning you. So here we go. Beep, 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 beep. First I'm going to make little shimp sounds. I may be speaking in my sleep now. I'm not sure because people tell me you are wicked articulate in your sleep. I said, thank you so much. And they go, are you sleeping now? I said, I do not know. I do not know. And they say, well, your eyes are closed. I go, I'm just bored. No, that's not it. I'm using my imagination. I often speak with my eyes closed because I'm thinking and it helps me to see things. I'm a visual rememberer. I do better with like visual cues. I go, oh, yes, I remember, except for faces, which are, oh, they leave me baffled sometimes. It takes me years sometimes to remember people if I don't see them very often. And then I will, and then I go overboard with my affection because to me, recognition is like enough. You know, I'm like when you dump a monkey in the woods and you visit it later, they go, oh my God, I love you so much. You're my mommy. That's the way I am with every, like, acquaintances. I don't know what it is. I'm just very attached to them. I guess because I don't have to see anybody's faults or anything. I have these nice, loose, casual attachments to people. And it works for me because then I'm just, oh, I can just love you to death when I see you. And then I go off. And I go back in my little cave or box or whatever it is. Oh, I'm not a real person. I sound like it because I'm speaking words and all, but I am just a cartoon character. I am. I can make, let's say, I'm about to go downstairs or something. Hang on, I got to get the slide whistle. I'm a cartoon character, but I have to obey actual laws of physics, except when I'm falling. I fell back up again. And see, I'm not real. That's how I just proved I'm not real. And I use logic on you. Zim, zam, boom. They don't even do that or teach Latin in schools anymore. So it's so much easier to fool people. You just say that this is what you do. You can fool people now with like politics and everything. You go, your political candidate. You say, no true Scotsman would vote for your political candidate. And they go, what? And they're baffled because they don't know logical fallacies. You go, if by whiskey you mean your political candidate sucks, and they don't know how to respond because they don't realize that that's a logical fallacy. And, you know, you say, you know who's a better candidate? And they go, no, who? And you go, straw man. And they go, that's good. And they'll argue with you. Oh, they're so lost. And only because they did not open that book. 15 plays about
15 common logical fallacies. It's really cool. I had that in middle school. We all had that. And they do little plays like that. And this, I think even there was a film strip or a movie that went with it with little ducks or something acting it out. And so I remembered some of those, but nowadays, oh my goodness, people are susceptible to it. Oh, my friends, we know something that the rest of the world doesn't know. What? I don't know. Something, whatever happened in the show that they're, pardon me. Oh my goodness, I'm fine. But I want you to be fine too. And it's so great to be able to be together. Oh, let's just relax. I'll just take this. This is not so fresh now. Because I've actually been sitting here for 12 hours. So the coffee is not as fresh as it was when I started. But I don't like to move, you know, when I'm on a roll. And, oh, it's been a marathon here. Sitting here with you. You say, well, it seemed like an hour. Didn't it, though, today? But I was traveling back in time. And when you travel back in time frequently like that, sometimes it takes more than an actual hour. And I was doing that, and now I'm a little tired. I'm not really tired. I'm excited because I love being with you. I like making connections. I can truly visualize you. And yes, I am a stuffed monkey. Are you doing that at all? Because I think it'd be really beautiful if we just go, what are you doing? Let's pretend we're in bed again. You asleep? You go, no. No, I am. Well, how are you talking? You say, how are you talking? I'm sleep talking. You're not sleep talking. Yes, I am. Prove it. All right, I'll say something. Well, how do you know what real sleep talking sounds like? Because Bryce on his show plays that record of that man recorded, purportedly, his roommate, like sleep talking and stuff. And so he's like, like that's what it sounds like. Well, you don't know that, but there's different kinds of, I mean, different traditions have different sleep talking and everything. I just like mythology. There's different myths. It's the same thing, but have different names. And where I come from, sleep talking is we're extremely articulate sleep talkers or slumber rappers. Oh, now I know you're sleep talking. Yeah, see, sometimes you can tell. Oh, I'm never asleep when I'm with you, friend. I think we should stay up. Let's stay up all night and then go to sleep. And then, well, that's just moving night, I guess, isn't it? How can we do? Let's stay up all night and then let's make breakfast and then fall asleep watching cartoons. I'm for that. They don't play cartoons in it. You can have them any time, so they're not special anymore. It's like Pop-Tarts. I don't know. Once you realize, oh, I can have these anytime, I don't want them. It's morning. I want a certain thing. I mean, you know, anything can be infantile because everybody had a different experience as an infant. So, you know, you might be eating a steak and watching Merv Griffin might be infantile to you because you're like, well, that's what I did when I was 3. Could be. I don't know. Hey, let's read some letters, shall we? Here's one. Hey, friend, a green lawn ain't so easy to maintain. That's where we come in, the green lawn guys. We pamper your lawn with the blah, blah, blah. This isn't to me specifically. This could be to anybody. Hardy, are you giving out, is your message, that could be to anybody almost. I'm not soliciting business. I don't want to come to your house and green up your lawn. I do not. I'm not even going to give you advice how to do it. I'm not even going to give you advice about how to cope when your lawn dies. I'm just going to keep it steady and say things happen, like your lawn doesn't get green and then it dies. And I'm going to be here the same as I would be in good times, saying the almost exact same things. Oh, because the human soul, the same celebration lasagna can be a morning lasagna. You know that. So you could say, I made this lasagna to celebrate. Or I made this lasagna because so-and-so's grandma died and I want to bring him something. So food is necessary. It consoles, but, you know, it's for celebration. But you have it all the time. That's why it's miracle nutrition. It's good times and bad. We need the same exact thing.
I'm just pulling you back from the edge, that's all. Oh, are you an optimist? No, I don't know. Not really. I don't have a optimist, pessimist. I'm neither one, really. Things happen, right? And I don't know why they happen necessarily. And the best thing doesn't always happen. Often there is pain and suffering, and it is unavoidable. And we want to wish for the best outcomes, but there is no sunny future. It's all going to be messed up and mingled together. The good and the bad, the tragic, the painful, and the joyous. They're all going to be mixed up always, always together. You can't pull the raisins out of this one. They're just in there. They're like connected by vessels. Oh, that's disgusting. Imagine a loaf of raisin bread, but the raisins are sort of like these things that are in you that are connected, and you can't pull them out, or the whole thing bleeds to death. Oh, my goodness, that sounds horrifying. It is, but it's, like, beautiful and interesting, too. Oh, just look at it. Be a wonderful audience member and observer. You are just watching it, but you're in it at the same time. But that doesn't make it not beautiful and strange. It does not make the tragedy not transcendent. It doesn't mean you're not going to be crushed and oppressed and in the dark and in fear. Oh, all those things happen. But look out there, they're happening to me as well. Wave to the other audience members. They're wearing their masks in the immersive theater. I really did go on those shows, and they made me put on these plastic, scary-looking masks and watched beautiful stuff go by. That really happened to me. That really happened. And it did make me realize that we're watching this life go by, and it's so interesting. If we do it together, I don't feel scared like I do when I'm alone. And just knowing you're there, using my thoughts to get to you, and you're using your thoughts to connect with me, and then we get to experience things together. And no matter how bad they are, and oh gosh, they get unbelievably horror show bad, we will be in there together, and we can always look at each other and go, man, this was crazy, right? Wasn't this crazy? Ooh, I love you. I love you. Oh, everything isn't perfect. It's not the neighborhood isn't all neat and tidy. It's full of ghosts and crazy things. But here we are today. We're sitting among the demons because we'll never get them cleaned out. So we just put bows on them. Bum, 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 bum. I'm so glad you're with me. I'm so happy that you're with me. You and I on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. You are listening to that. Thank you for being such a good friend. Thank you for listening to this marvelous radio station. Thank you for always being there. Thank you for being an observer. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for being a talker. Thank you for being the watched. Thank you for being the subject. I am so appreciative of you. And stay alive if you can. If not, I completely understand. And I will see you again next week. Welcome.
And I know. Well, my mind is still on thee. Still on thee. Mind is still on thee. My mind is still on thee. Still on thee. Mind is still on thee. But I'm trusting in the Lord and I'm standing on His word. Well, my mind is still on thee. Still on thee. Mind is still on thee.
He's my rock, he's my shield, he's my wheel in the middle of the day on the valley. He's my bright in the morning star, makes no difference what you say. I'm going on my knees and pray, God knows I'm going to wait right here for my Jesus. Till he come, Lord, the prophet Isaiah said he saw him with his dying garments, water coming from the land of Boaz, treading the wine press alone. Then old Daniel said he saw him as a chief cornerstone. God knows I'm gonna wait right for the Lord till he come, Lord. He's my rock, he's my shield, he's my wheel in the middle of Galilee on the valley. He's my bride in the morning. Oh, God knows I'm gonna wait right for the Lord till he come, Lord. And then Rebecca said she saw him just as she knelt down. And boy, he came riding through the element, and his glory filled the border with a rainbow around his shoulder and the government in his hand. God knows I'm gonna wait right here, oh Lord, till he come, Lord. And he's my rock, he's my shield, he's my wheel in the middle of the Galilee on the valley. He's my bride in the morning. Oh, God knows I'm gonna wait right for the Lord till he come, Lord. He's my rock, he's my shield, he's my wheel in the middle of the Galilee on the valley. He's my bride in the morning. Oh. God knows I'm gonna wait and for the Lord till he
No, that's not the name of the show. Clouds of Heaven, Radio Broad. No, that's not it. I've forgotten the name of my show. Singers. Road Not Taken. Sinner's Crossroads Gospel Broadcast. Here on listener-supported Freeform WFMU. My name is Kevin Nutt, and we want to welcome each and every one of you in this evening. Back in Alabama with the wisteria and the pollen. In quarantine, gospel quarantine. But that's okay, our spirit reaches around the world to every one of you listening to the words right now. Revelators, he is my rock. Everyone probably needs a rock right now. It's on the G&G record label, also issued on the Mirror record label in 1946. And right before that, we heard the Christian Airs, also doing business as the Southern Stars when they recorded for Chess. Their masters migrated over to the Gospel record label about 1960, and we heard My Mind Is Still on Thee. Yes.